1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Now, Maeve Kelly contacted us on Friday about a catastrophic car crash she was in. Unfortunately, the other party in the car crash, who was overtaking at the time, he was killed, and Maeve suffered horrific injuries. But she also suffered mentally, and she was making the point that when she was finished after months in hospital, and she left the hospital with outpatient appointments for her medical conditions, which are ongoing, she was nearly 12 hours in theatre to deal with the various injuries that occurred to her. She made the point that there was no talking therapy in terms of what could you expect, and what's happened to her since. She's had flashbacks, she's had panic attacks, she's had sleepless nights, she's had difficulties getting back into a car. Now, that prompted a number of calls. Now, when I asked Maeve, did she remember the crash, she said no. She couldn't remember anything in the seconds because of the catastrophic injuries she suffered. Now, Michael Noonan is on the line. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And Michael, one of the reasons why, I don't know whether you can remember the crash, but you can't see the crash, because what happened to you, because it was captured on CCTV. Have you looked at that?
Yes, I have, several times, Joe, frame by frame.
And tell us what happened.
But I, you're right, I have no memory at all of the accident. I have no memory of that morning even, and I have no memory for about 5 weeks afterwards.
Wow.
I suppose life was very, very good for me at that stage. I had a great career. I had just got engaged to be married. I had just bought the house of our dreams, and everything was very good. I was an avid cyclist. I cycled 300 kilometres a week, and every Sunday morning. And that Sunday morning, that front wheel just stopped dead at 50 kilometres an hour, and I went out over the handlebars and smashed my head off the road.
And with your permission, can we retweet the pictures? Now, by the way, yeah, they're not absolutely close enough to be physically distressing to anyone.
Well, No.
I'll retweet him now at Joe Liveline, and it's also at RTE Liveline on Twitter. So you're coming down the hill.
Yep.
And how? And you're on your own.
I'm on my
There's
own.
There's no other vehicle or person involved.
No, other vehicle, no animal, no pothole, no nothing.
And what do you reckon happened?
To this day, Joe, I honestly don't know. It drove me insane for a long time because I was nearly killed. Yeah. I had a very serious traumatic brain injury. I broke my neck. I broke my back. I broke my arms. I broke my nose, and I pulled all the side off my face, because once I hit the road at 50 kilometres an hour, the road acted as a grater. And what I really wanted to know was what happened. And I've had the Garda forensics have looked at it, the bike and the video, and I've had specialist forensics people look at it. But as you can see, I suppose it's there isn't anything there that they can say.
Well, there's no other person, animal, or vehicle involved. You're
nothing.
Coming down a hill at some speed, and then suddenly the bike collapses.
Well, actually, and it wasn't even because if the bike collapsed, I could say it was a fault in the bike. But what actually happens is the front wheel stops dead, and then the back wheel lifted, which sent me straight out over the handlebars and onto the road at 50 kilometres per hour.
Now, thankfully, there was no car coming behind, as far as I can see.
No.
So what happened next, now that you've reconstructed it, so to speak? Who called the emergency services, and what was their diagnosis when they arrived?
Obviously, I suppose the next cars, the couple of cars came, and they rang the emergency services. The paramedics, it's great that I can look back and I hear all the stories now, but they were there very quickly. Specialist paramedics, and they made the diagnosis that I was not going to survive. And to be fair to them, they had my driver's license. It was in my pocket, and they rang the Gardaí in Middleton, where I'm from. They had my address, and they asked the Gardaí to rush to my address and to rush my next of kin up to the hospital so that they could be there for the final moments.
Wow.
So my fiancé, I just got engaged 4 weeks before the accident, and she got a bang on the door that morning, and when she opened it, there was two uniformed Gardaí and a a squad car outside, and they as gently as they could told her the emergency that was happening, and mm-hmm. they rushed her to the hospital. So it was, as you can imagine, what was going through her head now at this time. And when she got there, the specialist, the medics in accident and emergency told her it was looking very poor. The next 24 hours were going to be critical, because as you probably, your brain swells and it's in the skull and there's nowhere for it to go. Next 24 hours would be critical, but the likelihood is now that at best I could survive, but I would be more than likely mentally and physically handicapped.
And what were the nature of your injuries at that stage?
So I suppose that the most serious was the traumatic brain injury. I look at my medical records now, and they classified me as ranked five on their coma scale, their Glasgow coma scale, which is technically brain dead, near fatal. I had broke a number of vertebrae on my neck and on my back. And I had broken a lot of bones, but the face then was completely destroyed. I got cellulitis while I was in hospital after a while from mm-hmm. the facial injuries, and blood clots in my lungs. So I had quite a challenging medical and then mental challenges.
Yeah, which is where Maeve, that was Maeve's yeah. angle on Friday, which I think alerted you and prompted yes. you to call. What do you want to talk about then, the mental challenges afterwards?
Yeah, well, I suppose, first of all, once I was in an induced coma for about a week, and then I go into a condition I knew nothing about before, a brain amnesia state. So while I was conscious and talking, yeah. I had no idea who I was, where I was, why I was there, and I have absolutely no memory of that at all. So it's very. When I got out of hospital, then I was sent to the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Dublin,
yeah.
and they start the process of putting something back together, putting you back together. And I was there for about 2 months. And
what was your condition, so to speak, when you arrived in Dunleary? Were you in a wheelchair? Were you
no? Okay. No, it is, and I'd be the first to admit it has been a miraculous recovery.
Yeah.
The senior medics in the hospital would be the first to tell me that even though I had broken several vertebrae, I hadn't damaged my spinal cords. Mm. Which could easily be done even afterwards if I moved suddenly or anything. But physically, I was quite good. The plastic surgeon had done a super job on me. In actual fact, a lot of my close friends still say I have a lot to thank the plastic surgeon for, because yes. apparently I'm better looking now than I was before the accident.
Okay. I'll take their word for it.
But so it's what I really was interested in when I heard Maeve talk on Friday. It was like telling my own story,
yeah.
except that the difference here was that when I was in CUH, when I was in the accident and emergency, and Alana, my fiance, she saw a poster on the wall for Headway.
Yeah, which was mentioned on Friday.
I had never heard of Headway before myself, and I was on the senior management team of a multinational pharmaceutical company, and every year we had corporate social responsibility budgets and corporate social responsibility mm-hmm. commitments, and I had never heard of Headway, and now I depended on them. But I was put on the list that time, on the waiting list, as they're under such demand, there is quite a long waiting list. But I was sent there then after coming out of the rehab, and I just cannot speak enough positivity about Headway.
Okay, so what did they do? Stay with it, if you would, for a moment, please.
Yeah.
And this is not an instruction, but just given what Maeve said about the flashbacks, the anxiety, yeah. the panic, the sleeplessness, the fear of getting back into a car, which is
yeah.
where her catastrophic injuries occurred. How did that visit you, that element of the trauma?
I suppose it's a because of brain injury, there are physical impacts So my cognitive defects, executive functioning impairments, memory loss, concentration loss, huge fatigue. And that, because your brain is not working the way it was or it should be, that leads you into a mental health state where depression is a big factor. Okay. And when you consider, I had a great career, I had done an awful lot of adult education, and now just because, and we still don't know what happened at front wheel, but everything is taken away. Everything in your life is gone. You're not the person you were.
In your case, looking at this video, in a microsecond.
In a microsecond.
There was no wobble beforehand. There was no lead up to it. Just bang, gone.
No pothole, no rabbit, no dog, no nothing. And it's all gone in a flash. So that does leave you in a mental health, regardless of a brain injury, it leaves you in a mental health condition where your depression, anxiety, your confidence. I was a very confident person one time, and all my confidence was gone. I was not the person I was. But then my family suffered because my personality changed. And they now, once I got out of rehab in Dublin, they had to live with a new person without the full knowledge of what to do or how to handle the mental state, but the physical brain injury state and the mental state. And that is where headway are just, they are priceless.
And what do they do? How do they address it? Are we talking individual talk therapy? Are we talking about group therapy? Are we talking about exercises, workshops?
Well, initially their neuropsychologist did a deep assessment on me. Okay. So I spent probably 3 hours a day with her for, I think, about 8 sessions, where she did a deep analysis and did an assessment on me. And then they put, I've done group sessions, which was priceless, because I was in a room with maybe 6 or 8 other brain injured people where you can talk with confidence because everybody understands what you're going through and what you've been through, and you're making comparisons with people who've been through exactly the same thing. And so I've regular appointments with the headway neuropsychologist and a vocational specialist. So I see them every week. And what they do for me is just, it is beyond description. And what they've done for my family, because they've given my family the confidence that I'm being dealt with by professionals. And Alana, who was my fiance, who is now my wife, she goes in on a regular basis and they talk to her and give her confidence.
Okay. Now, can I ask, you say your personality changed?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, I suppose my family are better judges of that than I am. But
well, I'm saying, did Alana marry a different man that she got engaged to?
She did. She did.
Well, then if it's not the same man.
Yeah, and we have several deep discussions about it. Okay. And to be honest, Joe, it was the biggest test of our relationship you could ever imagine, because she got engaged to one man, and now she was engaged to a different person. My personality was different. I could be more argumentative, more one-sided. My judgment was poor, was different. Decision-making. So a lot
And physically you were different as well.
Well, no, physically I was very good.
Oh, great.
Physically, my physical recovery was miraculous.
Miraculous, yeah.
Now, I did have, as I said, the plastic surgeon did a fabulous job. He's just done his latest facial reconstruction for me only about 2 months ago. So I did have some minor defects to my face on the day of my wedding, but the photographer was very good. He always took me from the good side.
Okay. Now, what do you remember, or do you remember anything about pain?
I remember nothing. About 5 weeks after my accident, which I now know, I woke up on a hospital bed. I woke up, I opened my eyes, and it was the first time that my brain had come back to some level of normality, because I realised I was in a hospital ward. I looked up and down and I sat back in the bed and I thought, what am I doing here? I felt my legs and my arms to see had I any broken bones, or I had no pain, no ache, nothing. And I had to wait about 20 minutes for Lana to come in, and I asked her why I was here and what I was doing here, and she told, she went through the whole detail. Now, as she did on a regular basis, apparently, because but now the answers I was coming back with, she knew that I had come back. But that was my first time hearing the story, and it was about 5 weeks after the accident. And I had no broken bone, I had no pain, I had no ache.
Incredible. Now, I know you're heavily involved in Headway now, in terms of trying to build a state-of-the-art facility in Cork. Stay with us, Michael. 51551joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Sky News are reporting that Doris Day, the film star who hasn't made a film in a long time, but Doris Day has died at the age of 97. A dog lover, wasn't she? Very big into pets. But anyway, an incredible singer and incredible all-around talent and an incredible star in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And then she stopped making movies altogether, full stop, and her life changed. Doris Day has passed on. We'll talk more later on, because I think she did visit Ireland on a number of occasions. Let me bring in Colm Lawlor. Colm, good afternoon. We were talking to John Finnerty. What was your situation, Colm?
Good afternoon, Joe. What can I say, Shane? Yeah. Back about 20 years ago, I was involved in a serious car crash.
Okay.
I was taken, first of all, taken to a Talla hospital. And they seen this, I needed my injuries were more severe. I was directly sent to Bowman Hospital, where I remained there for for the following 2 weeks. And while I was there, I had a severe brain hemorrhage, of course. And my God, it was I went down to something like 20% alive. I had two final blessings. One first, second, and the third almost going to give me the third blessing, but I came back. When I am from 20% alive, my God! I wrote down full details, and I've sent an intro show there regarding my repetitive dreams that I kept having all the time. Okay. And that's it was a very interesting dream. I thought, my God! And for the past 20 years, I've been on the mend. I've been to rehabilitation groups. Rehabilitation groups like Jesus, where I've been to Headway Ireland. I've been to Russell Park College, so I've been there several times, and I thought they were very good. I've been to Acquired Brain Injury Ireland. I'm still with those guys, and I find them very good. Mm-hmm. They're great assistance to you. And now I've moved on to going back to college, which is very good. I'm not sure if I should name the college, but...
absolutely do, yeah.
But I named the college.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I say it's called the National College of Art and Design.
Oh, yes. That's our leading
top college all over.
It's our leading college.
Because I had a history of art. So I've been doing art since I was able to walk. I've been doing art and design for many years now.
But you say, Colm, at one stage, after the operation, when I started to talk, everything seemed so strange.
Everything was just wiped from my mind, Joe. Everything. Your mind's just there. Wiped. You start to. You don't know who's talking to you. Where you and your family first come into you, and they speak to you.
Yeah.
You don't know who they are.
Oh wow!
You try to wonder. It's like saying words. You hear them say words. And you try to repeat their words, and you try to familiarize yourself with the English language and with everything again. My God, it was very hard in the early days of 1998, 1999. And then when I went to DNRH, that was very hard. I must say. And I spent 8-9 months there. I stayed there for 8-9 months. And then after that, it was something like a day patient. It's very good for Dr. Largy. I cannot recommend him enough, my God.
And when you're saying your memory was told, did you know who you were?
No, you have to find all that out, Joe. When I went to the NRH, my first night in there, I lay down in a room and I just looked up... And I've heard people all the time just talking about God, 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 this, God, that. And I looked up at the blank ceiling and I spoke to God and said, God, if you're out there, please help me. That's all I asked for. And I wasn't able to best bless myself, my God. It was just So I just kept on demand, I kept going to rehabilitation groups, Headbury Ireland, Acquired Brain Injury Ireland, and my God, if it is to be, it's up to me. That's all I always said to myself. Those 10 words or 2 letters, if you just believe in something, and just keep pushing, keep reaching, never let it drop, Jesus. And you get there, you will get there. But it takes a lot of time sometimes.
And how are you now, Colm? What's the situation?
Well, I'm okay now. I've gone to the college, and I'm just I'm on the med. I've done something like three years there now. My time's been extended to 5 years, I hear, from standard 3 to 5 for the BA. So it's hard to get there, Joe, of course, but it's if it is to be, it's up to me. I'll get there in the end. But
And you were in the National, as so many people were, National Rehabilitation Hospital in Dunleary. But you said at one stage in your letter there were 4 people in the intensive care unit.
That's my repetitive dream, Joe. I remember, first when I stayed in there that time, I was amongst 3 other people there. Mm-hmm. So there's something like 4 people there, but the other 3 people weren't as injured, weren't as serious as me. I was the worst injured there, but I'm the only survivor, which is striking, my God.
Out of the 4 people in that room?
Yeah, in that repetitive dream, it's odd how it happened. I'm trying to understand it, my God.
And insofar as there was a key that unlocked, as a number of people are saying, it was finding headway, it was a finding acquired brain injuries. For you, was there any unlocking? Was there any pivotal moment that made such a difference?
No, if it is to be, it's up to me. Just keep going, Joe. Just keep doing the same things over. Just timetable your day. Just get yourself some kind of a scheme together and just keep going with the flow all the time. Keep doing the flow. Keep being repetitive, which are actions, which are daily chores and so on. You will get there in the end, but it takes a while sometimes. But you get there in the end.
Michael, in terms of, you know, when, and I know depression has been mentioned, but depression is a really cruel illness. It's a devious illness because depression tells you, you cannot do anything about me. So how, in your case, how did you react when you heard about Headway? Were you very open to the idea, or were you a reluctant participant?
No, I was very open to the idea because I suppose I didn't know what to do or how to deal with it, and neither did my family. So anybody who was offering me a hand out to help, then I would grab it, and I did in Headway's case. I've listened to 2 previous callers there, and I think for Ireland to have an organisation who can help us professionally and in my case, you said about the depression. How I get over depression is a positive mindset. I'm very focused in having positivity and having positive things like Headway up there, for example. I know they're there, and I can think about that in a positive perspective. So the depression, my depression and my mental health is pretty good, given the condition that I am in and the circumstances I am in. I am making the best out of the life I have. It's not the life I had before, and I focus on not looking back. So I think a lot of people could look back as you did on the video. Why did that accident happen? Where would I be today if that accident didn't happen? But I don't look back. I have the life I have now, and I have every intention of making a positive life that I can out of the life that I have left.
Okay. So you don't. I know it's extraordinarily hard. So you don't do what ifs.
No.
And when? But so have you had CBT? What happens when a what if comes into your head? How do you get that idea to flee?
I focus. What I do is I focus on something else positive, something else that is positive. So when that comes into my head, God, if that accident didn't happen, where would I be now from a career perspective? Where would I be from a job perspective? I focus on the good things I have in life. I can walk. I can talk. And those are things normal people take for granted. They take for granted. But when you've been through a critical injury, like myself or the two guys on the phone with me there now, they don't take anything that they have now for granted. And it's a very positive thing to know that when I get up in the morning, I can walk, I can exercise. And my brain is damaged, and it is different from the way it is, but it still works very well. And having headway, and I can't say enough about the confidence that they give you. And I'm a great fan of headway now, and we have the two facilities. They operate out of two facilities in Cork. Neither of them are adequate. And Headway have great plans to build something as a state-of-the-art rehabilitation place, which will have such a positive effect on their clients.
Okay. And I know, I know you're a fundraiser. I want you to get your plug in, Michael.
Yeah.
Your fundraiser, and I know, isn't it JP McManus that supports Headway in the Limerick area? I think
That is correct. And I am starting with Headway as part of my rehabilitation. I'm going to help them with the project. I'm also trying to help them about the fundraising. I know nothing about fundraising. I'm not an experienced person in that field, and I'm looking for anybody who can help me to have a positive fundraising aspect. I will take any help that I can get.
Okay. And there's more people on after this break. 51551 joe@rte.ie.